and the invasion of Ukraine.
Blog Talk Radio.
So I'm not saying it's all his, no.
She also criticized big oil companies for not lowering U.S. gas prices when prices fall in global oil markets. Talks on additional COVID funding are inching forward in the Senate.
The gap has been narrowed greatly, and we're intent on working with Republicans to cross the finish line.
Majority Leader Chuck Schumer noted Democrats want to authorize more money than Republicans. He called it urgent funding to extend COVID services and treatments. Schumer warned the U.S. can't get caught flat-footed if there's another deadly COVID variant surge. Americans' personal income and spending rose less than expected in February. Government figures out today show personal income was up 0.5%, slightly lower than the 0.6% rise analysts had forecast. Personal spending edged up only half as much as the experts predicted, rising 0.2%. The Hubble Space Telescope has discovered the most distant star in the universe. A study published yesterday said the star is 28 billion light years away from Earth and has existed since the universe was just 900 million years old. The study says the star is so far away that it's taken nearly 13 billion years for its light to reach Earth. But because the universe is expanding, it's now 28 billion light years away. You're listening to the latest on NBC News Radio.
AJNW can help you build a rewarding show and podcast. Here's just one of our happy hosts.
Hi, this is Dr. K, host of Dr. K's Attuning to Your Abundance. I emphatically recommend you to the team at KKNW. The station is a great place for lots of messages, especially poets, writers, storytellers, singers, and musicians.
Learn more about hosting your own show and podcast. Call 425-653-1150.
And let's go ahead and take a look now to our alternative talk weather outlook for Thursday. Well, we'll see partly sunny skies today after those morning showers burn off. High temperatures around 52, 53 degrees. Tonight, mostly cloudy skies. Low temperatures dropping down to about 41. For Friday, mostly cloudy skies yet again with a few sun breaks. Highs around 53. Light showers returning for Friday night. Lows back down to about 40. For the weekend, more clouds and light rain expected. High temperatures in the mid-50s.
The views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of KKNW, its management, or other advertisers. This program is sponsored by Dr. Pat Vasily and Transformation Talk Radio.
Hi, welcome. This is Dr. John DeMartini. This is one of the most amazing and inspiring shows that you can listen into. If you want to be on the edge of your seats, if you want to open up your heart, if you want to expand your mind, and you want to meet incredible people, stay tuned because you're just about to experience a transformative radio show that will change your life. And you're listening to the Dr. Pat Show that's coming up right next.
Welcome to the Dr. Pat Show, talk radio to thrive by. Powerful, inspiring, and coming to you live, bringing you stories of people like you and me, busting through and living life full out. Get ready to dare to wonder what your life would be like if you knew you could not fail.
Hey, everybody, welcome. It's so great to have all of you tune us in and turn us on. I'm really excited about this interview, Benny, Jacob, Olivia, I'm really excited about it because, you know, I get a lot of books that don't quite, you know, take me to the edge of a conversation. What am I saying? What do I even mean by that? Don't quite take me to the edge. Well, they come out and they identify what everybody already knows. And they just take it and they say it a different way. But Kobe, Michael, no way at all is that what we're about to talk about. Because when I take a look at his book, which he's going to talk about in a minute, and we take a look at what Poison Path is, and we take a look at Poison Path Herbal, and we take a look at some of the herbs he's talking about, oh my gosh, is he actually even going to talk about nightshades? Really? Now we're getting underneath. And you guys have heard me talk about this a lot in the past year, of ancient wisdom. I say ancient because it's like beyond, it's even before like 2,000 years. It like goes like before, like way back. When people looked at a life and they looked at a plant or they looked at a ritual and they looked at something and somehow in their lineage or knowledge transfer, they knew, take this, grind it up here, put it here, don't do that with this. They knew that. And then we forgot. But what's cool about this is it's not just about the item. What about medicine, magical wisdom? What about access to the spirit realm? When you look at and get to know some of the cultures that have developed rituals, it's hard to imagine that those rituals be lost in 10 years. That's why the people of Hawaii, you know, the indigenous people of Hawaii fought so hard to keep their language, you know, to keep their rituals, to keep their momentum, to really transfer the knowledge. But today, I want to introduce you in to Colby, practitioner of the Poison Path, and you're going to find out what this is. What is occult herbalism? And what is it about what we've learned, or at least what I've learned, from what we're calling pagan wisdom, pagan archives? You know, that's such an interesting word. What I love about that is that word, when you take a look at it, you're really talking about people that use rituals and medicines to keep our species alive. And they weren't looked at as like something odd or weird. That's why, in a lot of cases, we're still walking the earth. Colby, it's great to have you. Sorry. Manzanita sent you through Linda, and I bet you didn't expect to get a dose of this from me today.
I'm happy to be here.
Look, I want to just start with a conversation, and then I want you to talk about Poison Path. I grew up in a family, both, and I learned later on about my mom's culture. You know, it was a big secret that my family on my mom's side, my grandfather was actually born in Brazil. That was like a secret. Nobody talks about that. But when I combine the rituals that I think about my grandmother and what she concocted, I don't have another word. You're going to school me on this today. But when grandma's in the kitchen and she's grinding stuff up and she's yelling at grandpa that everything's got to be fresh, and you start to look at how she's using all of this, we never questioned grandma. Because the minute she put that stuff on our sore hand or our toe or we drank it, we felt better. What is it about your life's path and about bringing this message forward that you want to make sure we don't forget?
Yeah, you know, the plant medicine has always been there. And like you said, it's kind of gotten us to where we are. You know, we wouldn't have a lot of what we do without it. And, you know, the medicine and the cures, they work. You know, that's why we still have traditional Chinese medicine that's been around for 5,000 plus years, and Ayurveda and you know, practices like that have been maintained, and all of this indigenous wisdom. So just kind of reconnecting to that and a sense of that in my own practice and, you know, my own life, connecting those things to my own background and worldview, kind of investigating some of the plants that are, you know, native to the land of my ancestors, you know, Northwestern Europe, the British Isles, Scandinavia, things like that, because there is, you know, a big gap in that knowledge. But I grew up working with plants and being in the garden and just being very close to nature with my grandparents. And it was interesting, you know, coming from a conservative Christian Midwest household, you know, that I would kind of develop that reverence for nature, but I definitely did.
Yeah. I mean, I'm shaking my head because I'm so right there with you. You know, it's very interesting to grow up in my household, right, with both my mom's side and my dad's side, but my mom's side of the family, they were very interesting. These are the Brazilian people that were afraid to admit grandpa was born in Brazil. But imagine this, you grow up in that structure, you go to church, then you come back and you see all this other stuff going on in the kitchen. I want to talk to you. people may not know what we're talking about when we say the poison pack.
Mm-hmm.
Let's explain the anesthesiology. Let's explain all of the ologies about this, the roots, and why this is so important to remember today. Because can I just say something? I play a sport, and I have a lot of Asian friends, right? I have a couple of them that were over in China when COVID broke out. And the way the Chinese handle COVID is the way they're handling now. They lock down. They just lock down. They lock you in a room, they lock down. But what I found fascinating in talking with her and gathering up what happened in those 2 months that she was locked in was fascinating to me. Herbal medicine, right? Special Chinese medicine, herbal medicines, teas, fungus, mushrooms, all of those things were available to these people, and they really didn't know what they were treating, but they knew. They knew how to tap into this ancient, ancient knowledge, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I think you're doing. So tell everybody about Poison Path.
Yeah, so the Poison Path is essentially looking at poisonous plants, psychoactive plants, any plant that has kind of a sinister, or we call it baneful nature, even certain invasive herbs, looking at them and kind of investigating our relationship with, you know, what makes them poisonous or dangerous or pernicious or unwanted, and kind of investigating that relationship, because really, you know, our association with plants and the different things that we connect them to are really just based on our own interpretation. You know, they're a reflection of us as individuals and our society. So we can learn a lot about ourselves when we look at the relationship with plants, especially plants that have had a major role in human history, you know, whether that's in medicine or warfare, you know, or even plants that have been involved in the war on drugs. You know, there's just a lot of information and insight that can be gained from our relationship to those plants, and kind of investigating also the concept of poison, you know, what makes something toxic, you know, and understanding that in many cases, poison often just means potency, and that many of these poisonous plants that have such a bad reputation are actually the origin where, you know, some of these synthetic derivatives for some of our most important medications come from, you know, from things like foxglove, deadly nightshade, all of these plants that would typically be deadly, you know, also contain these powerful medicines. You know, so there's a really, I think that's sort of the main and most important lesson is investigating that duality.
Yeah, and the reason we investigate it, because we know, right, historically, knowledge transfer, I don't know, centuries, generations, I don't care what you want to call it. Information is passed down that said or drove Bill Wilson to be in a hospital, fully alcoholic state, crazy town, and taking belladonna. Hello, why was that? How did he even get that information to know that that was what he was going to take on his last day of having a drink? And then out he comes with the 12-step programs, right? And that wasn't the only thing he did. But how did he even get that? How did Bill Wilson find that? Like, what year was that? So this is what I mean by that. And I love that you're doing, I just love that you're doing this book. Here's why. I contracted a mystery disease in 2004. And it was. And all of the conventional wisdom and medicine and all of the conventional natural medicine didn't quite work. Natural medicine helped build up my system. But it wasn't until we went down the poison path. I didn't know it was called this, though, Cody. Sorry. In a very structured, organized way, did I understand the power of bee venom, snake venom. I mean, I'm talking about it now. And for you, for anybody monitoring this on Google or Facebook, I'm sharing my personal experience. This is not for everybody, and I want to put the caveat out. What we're talking about today, you don't go out and experiment with this. That is the caveat today. You to work with somebody that's knowledgeable to help you. But I also learned a word that I want you to talk about. alkaloid.
Mm-hmm.
Billions of dollars are made with the word alkaline. But can you tell me about the way you're presenting this and how important it is in the interaction of medicinal remedies?
Yeah, sure. So alkaloids are some of the most important chemical substances that we have. We're generally using them in isolated or pure form. So things from caffeine to morphine to tropane alkaloids, which occur in nightshades.
Caffeine.
Nicotine, yes. Things that we all use every day. The active, psychoactive components of plants are alkaloids. So in understanding their action, how they affect human physiology and consciousness, as well as understanding how to safely work with them, they become very important in the past because the alkaloids are also what are potentially harmful or potentially poisonous or overwhelming.
Yeah, I love the way you've written this book. I got to tell you this. I mean, I'm a little researcher at heart, and literally my time, I do not have time to really get knee deep in this. But if I did have time, I'd probably study with you and learn some more about this because you are describing things that most people don't want to talk about. And I love the way you're doing it. Everything from atropine to scopolamine, and I mean, you're explaining how this all works.
Mm-hmm.
How in the world did Kobe Michael get on this pathway in life? What the heck did you have to overcome in your life? Now, I'm not kidding. I mean, I wouldn't know anything about this if I wasn't dying for 10 years, but mm-hmm. What happened to you where you said, this is my life's path?
Yeah, it really kind of found me. And looking back in retrospect, it makes a lot of sense. You know, I came from a divorced family. My dad was an alcoholic, so a lot of abandonment issues and substance abuse related things, you know, right off the bat, and dealing with all the emotional turmoil of that. It was like the early 90s then, so it's not like a very popular thing to have happen yet. And then just coming to terms with my own sexuality, my own identity, issues with authority, and just figuring out my own place in the world, and then having and struggling with and recovering from, you know, my own substance abuse issues. You know, it was just sort of this recurring theme of altered states of consciousness and, you know, these really kind of deep, dark, and intense emotional things that I was going through. And I've always been interested in magical practice. I've always considered myself a magical practitioner, very spiritual in that way since I was a little kid. And, you know, all of this is going on simultaneous to me learning about all of these spiritual things. And finally, I just discovered poisonous plants, or at least, you know, the nightshades. And
yeah.
Then I find out that they've got all of this benefit for treating addiction and opiate overdose and alcoholism and all of these, even getting into more of the subtle spiritual things. All of these things that were major themes and major struggles in my life have some kind of correlation to one of these plants.
I never knew why Grandma, after a big Sunday festival, like with Italian, it's a lot of these people at the table, like the entire Italian Latino people around the table, like food all day long, drinking all day. I never thought about why the next morning she'd be grinding something up to give all the adults, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I still to this day don't know what she was doing. But you say something in the book that I really want you to talk to, and thank you for sharing that personal story. You and I are not very different, maybe different in age, but we're not very different in our life path. We're very close. We could be two peas in a pod. And I think those experiences, when we're on search of defining who we are and standing tall in who we are, and we have to really face the brunt of how courageous that is and how different it is in life and our families and our relatives. You know, it's not without wanting to numb ourselves. You know, the path that we may go down is like, wow, you know, I don't know how to talk about my sexual identity, and why don't I just get numb about it? Maybe I'll find the courage. But you see, I'm hoping that in years to come, and I pray that that is not stigmatized as it is today. But you also talk about this, and I've been fascinated by this. You say it is important that we do not forget what brought us to these plants to begin with. Their practical use and growing prominence in modern witchcraft continue the ancient tradition with these powerful botanical allies. I have made statements that witchcraft has never been more popular. Why do I say that? Pop culture, pop television series, discovery of witches. I mean, if you're not a witch, you're not it in the pop culture. I mean, come on. Wanda. She is the Scarlet Witch. What? Wanda. So here we are. Are we shifting and becoming a little bit more open, in your opinion?
I think so. I think it is sort of a representation of a shift back to the, you know, the feminine side of things and kind of seeing these just, you know, powerful female roles and not just in people that are physically female. You know, we all contain like that female component, but I think there is a major kind of shift in our consciousness that's heading that way. And I think that the witch is a representation of that, and it comes to contain so many of the things that we're dealing with right now, from you know, pro-life and pro-choice things, women's rights, just all of this stuff, and kind of fighting in the face of the patriarchy, the man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, one of the things that you also talk about, and I want to just have you address this before we go to break, there are precautions. I mean, I wasn't joking before when I said, don't try this on your own. I mean, I would never have tried some of the things that I did try, which had been tried by ancient indigenous people, by the way, but I would have never done it without supervision for me. Mm-hmm. There are precautions. I mean, I also referenced Bill W. He was in a hospital when he did this. Tell us where you see the precautions when working with these plants.
Oh, sure. So it's going to come definitely in the dosage and how or whether the plants are being ingested or just the way and vehicle that you're working with them.
I have to make a statement. On my own journey, I'm telling you, when my practitioner and doctor said less is more, and I didn't believe her, that was a learning by doing that people shouldn't experiment. You really have to follow the methodology, the rituals. You have to check for the purity of things. I know that today we're going to give a copy of your book away. But there is this burning question for you, and I think you've answered it. It's about the why. You know, why poisonous plants? Why not just dot, dot, dot? But I guess, why not poisonous plants, I guess? Maybe, mm-hmm. Right? What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, there are great non-poisonous plants that are out there that can treat any number of things, yeah, medicinally, and even those in, you know, massive large amounts can have,
oh, yeah,
what we would consider toxic properties, but they're not always going to be as powerful for some of these, you know, deeper healings that we need to go through or helping to literally change your consciousness or rewire your neural pathways or, you know, in some cases bringing people back from, you know, the brink of death. Using them in that way under a medical setting.
Yeah. We're going to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to give a copy of Kobe Michael's book away. We're going to talk about, I'm going to get back to Belladonna because we actually have Belladonna ritual oil also to give away. But Belladonna is one of these, when you say Belladonna, it sounds kind of sexy. I think Stevie Nicks sang about it. But it's shown up in movies like Practical Magic. I've mentioned it 4 times, probably 8 times this week. Why is that? But it's not the only thing you should know. When we come back, we're going to pick Kobe's brain. We're going to have him tell us what's on his top 3 list. And what did he discover in writing this book where he said, Really? Wow. That? Stay tuned, everybody. We'll be right back to Kobe Michael.
Does your life often feel like an emotional tsunami where rogue waves crash down on you, leaving you feeling hopeless and wondering if it will ever end? Do you wish to awaken the dormant strength inside of you? Imagine what it would be like to turn your pain into purpose. Start today by scheduling a complimentary consultation with Martinet. Dive into your healing journey and begin to see your life in a new light. Visit MartinetEmmons.com and make your appointment today.
Are both your life and mission passing you by? Are you wanting to step into the bigger reason why you're here? I'm Claudia Sam, your soul connection coach and host of the Be Happy Now show. It's possible to feel good to be you and to never burn out again. Hop on a free 20-minute clarity call with me to explore what life could be like if you could just say yes to yourself without the guilt. Go to ClaudiaSamSoulCoaching.com/yes.
Parenting isn't about perfection. I think we all know that. Parenting is about being present and honest, having compassion for your child and for yourself, communicating consciously and loving unconditionally. Tune in to the Awakened Parent Project with Susan Dolce every first and third Tuesday at noon Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Learn to be an empowered parent through the techniques of the conscious parenting community. To learn more about Susan, visit SusanDolce.com.
It takes courage to step into your calling and go for your dream. Sabotage monsters can get in your way, preventing you from reaching your potential. You can choose to struggle alone, or you can choose community and support, someone to walk beside you, meeting you where you are. If you are ready to make real and lasting change, Coach Christine Clark is here for you. Find out more about one-on-one coaching and group programs with Coach Christine at sunglowtransformations.com.
Are you wondering who you are meant to be in this ever-changing world right now? Kelly Kay is a certified new paradigm, multidimensional transformation energy healer, ready to assist you in this transformative process of expanding your consciousness. She helps you transmute your wounds and traumas into healing, growth, and wisdom, resulting in self-empowerment and freedom from fear. Visit enlightenedmedicine.com to learn more.
Hey everybody, welcome back. It's so great to have all of you tune us in and turn us on. I am so thrilled. As I said before, it's just wonderful to have Kobe joining us here today and to really be talking about, you know, what is so important, at least to me, you know, what I discovered along the way is almost like ancient and lost. And you know, I, recently myself and my cousins, we've been looking out, you know, what can we paste together? And one of the things across the board that we come up with is what do we remember about our grandparents? What do we remember about what they've done? And this particular part here is something that all of us kids remember. And I was just saying to Kobe before the, you know, during the break, gosh, I said to my cousin, why didn't we pay more attention to this? Why didn't we watch this? And he looked at me and he said, you know, we just didn't. And she said, remember, she didn't really speak English very well. I said, oh, okay, that makes sense. Before we go on, we have a copy of Kobe's book to give away, Benny. 1-800-930-2819. Let's go ahead and do that. The 1-800-930-2819. Kobe, can you get out your website? Because you've created much more than the book we're talking about. And tell us what people will find when they come to your website.
Yeah, so my website is thepoisonersapothecary.com. and it is a collection of herbal formulas, amulets, medicinal and magical preparations, working with all of the plants that are in the book. A lot of the recipes that you'll find in the book are actually available on the website too. So it's really just kind of a variety of what the poison path is and what it has to offer, and sharing with people different ways the plants can be worked with.
Beautiful. And as I said, Benny, let's go ahead and give a copy of the book away, and then we'll come back to it. You know, I want to hear from your perspective a little bit on, as you were writing this book, you know, it's always a journey, I think, when you do something like this. You know, were there aha moments? Was there something that you found that where you said, wow, I knew about this, but I didn't quite know this?
I think there were many moments like that over the years, definitely. It took me 6 years of research and about 3 years of actually putting everything together for the book to finally take its final form. You know, so one thing, just the realization of the amount of indigenous knowledge that is still out there, and the risk that these people are at for having that knowledge being lost, and the ways that modern, you know, Western anthropologists and things have gone to these parts of the country and kind of taken that knowledge and brought it back to the West to be used in modern medicine, and just really completely changed the integrity of things. And, you know, so that was a big aha moment, that realization that, you know, the lore isn't necessarily lost. We've just forgotten it in some parts of the world, and it's kind of getting back to that original way of thinking that these indigenous cultures have maintained for all these thousands of years.
Yeah. I mean, I want to talk about this before we jump ahead. I want to talk about your, you know, the great way you've outlined the three ways. And in the book, you talk about the three ways. For those of you out there, there's so much in the book. It's quite a robust book. But in the book, you talk about the crossroads of the path of poison. And in this particular chapter of the book, you also reference the three ways. There's a great diagram in here, you know, of a triangle. But it really is quite a powerful symbolic message. And what I mean with that is the way you present a book, it has glyphs. Tell us about this. Tell us about, you know, threefold.
Yeah, so that was kind of an idea that crystallized while I was assembling all of this information. And the three ways are using the three planets, Saturn, Mercury, and Venus, to kind of categorize not so much the plants themselves, because there's often overlap between all three of those, but to categorize specific ways of working. And those specific ways of working relate directly to our most popular or prevalent folkloric witchcraft practices, or things that would be typically associated with medieval European witchcraft or things like that. So the Saturn, Mercury, and Venus represents currents of working, so different methods of magic, talking to the dead, aphrodisiacs, traveling the realms, and those are all represented by those planetary archetypes as well.
I love, though, the inclusion of aspects of astrology, what I call astrology in here, but you also reference, for example, Saturn, right? And I think Venus and Mercury as well, if I'm correct. I'm trying to remember now. But it's fascinating how you've created this beautiful web of pulling all this together to explain this, you know, to explain, yeah, this is how folks did it back then. And this is really what we could learn. I was especially thrilled that you pulled out this whole section on belladonna. What is our fascination with belladonna?
I don't know.
But we are, right? It's like we are. Like we're like, I mean, come on. Like we are, right?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe really? Talking to us.
I think so. I think there's a lot that it could cure right now that we don't necessarily know about or know enough about, and there's not really anybody with enough medical degrees willing to do the research. you know, from addiction to pain relief to, you know, working with it energetically for shadow work and things like that. There's just so many areas that it can help.
Yeah, and then there have been people that have come along which have demonized, right? I mean, we always have that, right? Belladonna, the beautiful lady, right? What does Belladonna mean? That's just, right? Beautiful,
yeah, beautiful
lady.
Woman.
And it's been used. Of course it would have to be demonized at some point, right? But it's been used in magical practice. It's, like you said, been used in addiction. It's been used medicinally. I referenced Bill Wilson. If you don't believe me, you guys can Google that and look it up. But outside of that, do you have, like, a top three? I know Belladonna's got to be your top three, or, like, you wouldn't have spent this time.
Yeah, she's left my top one.
Okay.
It's Belladonna, I mean. Plant spirit ally, and just really kind of represents to me the poison path itself, and also that kind of current of witchcraft. Other favorites would be henbane is also a really, really awesome medicinal one that's a little bit safer to work with than Belladonna, but it has a lot of the same medicinal applications and things like that. So I'd love to do more of a scientific investigation into that, and as far as its treatment with opiate dependency.
Yeah.
Belladonna, henbane. Foxglove is another one that I've been working with over the past 6 months, and it was one that I wasn't always super attracted to. I started working with it as a flower essence to help with some heart issues, and that's been doing really great, and have some growing over in the kitchen, and they're just really nice to have around.
Yeah. You know, along these lines, we're talking about plants, especially foxglove, which has gotten, like, everybody to say, don't eat it, don't let your pet eat it. I mean, like, right? I mean, we already know that. But there's one category that has really, really, really gotten a bad rap across the board. And it's not only gotten a bad rap across the board, but it's also made it to mainstream bad rap. Just saying the word nightshade, people think they know what that means. But it's really taken on such negative connotations. And I got to tell you, I grew up in a family, peppers, eggplant. I mean, these were, like, on the table. Talk about nightshades and, you know, how you address this and how you address them in your book.
Yeah, so nightshades are one of our most important food crops and medicine crops, everything, eggplant, tomato, potato, tobacco, all of those are in the nightshade family or Solanaceae family. Solanaceae comes from the Latin, which means to soothe. So a lot of these more potent nightshades also have a very sedating, soothing quality, used for pain relief and anti-inflammatory effects and things like that. But they have to be done so in the correct dosage, because at the larger dosage, they become much more stimulating, and in some cases hallucinogenic, and can even lead to coma, death, and things like that. So it's really important how to approach them. But nightshades are kind of the favorite plant family of witches, of, you know, those of us that identify are connected to kind of that medieval European witch archetype, like Mandrake, Belladonna, Henbane, and then later Datura.
You know, I want to take a short break when we come back. What I want to ask you about is, as you look ahead, now that you've written the book and you've discovered so many things, I would love to know what you're most excited about experimenting with more. You know, which one of these? I mean, there are some in here that I looked at and I thought, wow, I wonder what he's doing with that. I wonder what he's doing with that. And then my friend said, you got to ask him about juniper, what your obsession with juniper is, Pat. You know, juniper, you like drink the tincture, right? What is it about juniper with you that you just cannot get enough of? And by the way, I don't overdose on it. I'm very mindful of it. But anytime I go to my naturopath, I walk in the door and I say, I need two things, colloidal silver and juniper. And then she has to test me for it. And I either walk out of there with it or I don't. When we come back, what happens when we're drawn to something, as Kobe is going to talk about, and you want to know more about it? Stay tuned. We're going to take a short break. We'll be right back.
In the field, the roses that grow are God's way of letting us know.
Have you been on life's roller coaster trying to figure out what to do next? Then join Greta, Lee, Yvonne, and the Realm of Beings each Friday at 8 a.m. Pacific, 11 a.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Take the dust off your wings and fly to the highest heights in your thoughts and actions. Express your greatness. Be a champion for yourself, and we'll see you there on Shifting Impressions Conversations with the Realm of Beings.
Champion Your Life with me, Leanne Champion, first and third Wednesdays at 1 p.m. Pacific Time on TransformationTalkRadio.com. That new gym membership might help you get fit, but what about emotional fitness? Jump into the rushing waters of personal growth. Don't waste another minute feeling unfulfilled. Visit championyourlife.com and let's do this together.
Grace your space with flair. Dragon art to soothe your soul by Colette Marie Steffen is available now. Colette invested an average of 6 months on each painting. Her piece titled Courage took 3 years to complete. The paintings are printed with the latest technology to best capture the true essence of the painting. Browse the 64 dragons and dragonflies and order your paintings today at talesfromthevector.com.
Optimize your breast cancer screening without any radiation or pain. Effective, sensitive, and widely used thermal imaging in Europe is now available to you here in the U.S. Using state-of-the-art FDA-approved camera, Eastside's first and only breast thermography clinic is now open in Bellevue. Safe, sensitive, low cost, no referrals needed. Contact Holistic Medical Center at 425-451-0404 or on the web, drdarvish.com.
Are you curious about who the Holy Spirit is or whether or not the Holy Spirit is real? And even more so, how to connect with an invisible God on a deeper level? Join me, Dr. Lisa Kohut, on Making the Holy Spirit Famous every second and fourth Friday at 2 p.m. Pacific and 4 p.m. Central Time on TransformationTalkRadio.com to begin that relationship, to begin to deepen your relationship with the Holy Spirit. To work with me, go to HolySpiritCoach.com. See you soon.
Are you ready to get big and live your life out loud? Tune in to Get Big Out Loud Radio, exploring life through the lens of curiosity and compassion. With me, Carrie Knudsen, joining Dr. Pat live every second Monday at 10 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. I will offer ideas to transform what you are thinking into conscious action. If you want to get big and live your life out loud, visit me at KnudsenSpeaks.com.
In the field, the roses that grow are God's way of letting us know.
Thank you, Benny, for that. Hey, everybody, welcome back. Kobe, right away, tell people again, name of your book, where they can get it from, but also tell people how they can find out more about everything else you created. I mean, I've spent so much time on the website just looking at the beautiful things that you've created, right? You know, everything from the crow and belladonna rosary. I love rosaries, by the way. Mm-hmm. But so much thoughtfulness and beauty that you put into this. It's just amazing. So how do people get the book, and then how do they find out more about what I'm referencing on your website?
Sure. So the book is called The Poison Path Herbal. And you can get that anywhere books are sold, Barnes & Noble, Amazon. You can also order it on my website, right? I've got signed copies as well, and that's the would be poisonersapothecary.com.
And there's so much here, right? People can contact you if they've got any questions about it. Like, I was looking at the super green that you have on here, and I was just reading about it. You've got so, you've given people so much information. You're so descriptive about the way you do this. I mean, it's just really, really cool. So thank you for doing that. Let me get back to the question I asked you and the time I'd love for you to share about this. Here's where we are today, right? Clearly from where I sit, when I got sick in 04, this was just starting to be more mainstream. You know, whether you want to call it natural medicine, whether you want to call it herbal medicine, whatever you want to call it, it just started to come more to the forefront. Now, with the digital platform and internet, it's accessible to a lot of people. For me, I had tried every conventional approach, a lot of them, and it wasn't working. So I, out of desperation and out of some good luck, found a great naturopath, and we took this journey together. I want to ask you this question as you look ahead. What most excites you about looking ahead, and what are you most excited to learn more about from your book or from your work?
Gosh. Well, it's really a growing community, and there's a lot of people that are interested in working with plants like these and coming from all different directions, you know, from magical practice to psychedelic spirituality, into a more, you know, medicinal healing kind of background, and really just kind of fostering a sense of community and giving a platform for people to come together and, you know, sharing other people's work as well, and just really kind of making a community thing out of it, because so many of us could benefit from it. So I'm most excited for the future, just to see how things grow and see, you know, how many more people I can get involved and to help and, you know, just spread the word and things like that.
Now, if you had to pick a couple out of the many things that you have, either on your website or in the book, give us your top three that you see yourself coming out more about.
The lime ointments are very popular. They do have medicinal effects, but there's also, you know, some discrepancy on their psychoactive effects, their spiritual effects, and things like that. So a project that I'd like to work on in the future is to somehow create a formula that is true to the medieval recipes that we do have that would give those more intense experiences to people that are looking for it, but, you know, to do it in a way that there's disclaimers.
And what was, say the name again. I just got a text. I want you to say what that is again.
The one that's the most popular right now is called the Unguentum Venenum. That's my poison fine ointment with deadly nightshade, henbane, clary sage, mugwort, and I believe spikenard in that one. And they all work synergistically. You know, so it's not just one component that's making all of this happen. It's a blend of all of these different ingredients.
Right. Give us another one. This is like hot off the press. This is like an exclusive what's hot. Michael. This is like, what's hot and what's not?
Well, I love the rosaries. Everybody loves Crowfoot Rosary. There's another one that's newer that's out. It's called a Deadly Nightshade Reliquary, and it's a really neat little spherical locket. So it's all hollow on the inside, and it has a Deadly Nightshade berry in the middle of it. So those are really nice to have around, wearing as a talisman or charm.
Yeah. And when people go to your website, they're going to see a Bijan to beautiful pictures you took. Thank you for doing such a great job at demonstrating what it is you're selling. So often, you know, I go to their websites and I go to their product page, and it's like so teeny-weeny, I don't even know what it is. Mm-hmm. But it's also beautiful. I'm going to ask you a different question in the few minutes we have left. I grew up in an era where psychedelics, for lack of a better word, psychedelics started to become medicinal remedies. Now, of course, everybody knows the generation I grew up is just crazy, so most of the time they thought that's what we did. But there were a group of people, Ram Dass, a couple of other people, that really saw that there's a way to mental stability. And I need to put a disclaimer in here for anybody listening. This is an opinion that I'm giving and a personal experience from people I know. But what do you think? Have we kind of overlooked the potentiality of that movement? And do you think it's coming back in a more safer way?
Yes, absolutely. You know, there was not near enough research done on LSD or psilocybin or any of these psychedelics as far as their medicinal applications. And I think that in part has to do with, you know, modern medicine, pharmacy, and all of that, not really wanting to treat people's mental stability because they don't make as much money that way. But I think now, you know, with legalization or deregulation of cannabis and mushrooms in certain places, that people are really starting to just see the benefits, and it's undeniable. You know, you can't ignore these people that have recovered from PTSD and addiction and trauma and abuse. Through microdosing, and it's not about getting high or numbing yourself or anything like that. It literally rewires your neurological pathways, and we understand very little about that.
And, you know, this is a really interesting conversation that you're going to have to come back, and we have to do at least a half-hour show just on this topic, because, you know, we're entering a realm now where more confusion about an ancient medicinal, which we call cannabis, right? I mean, come on, right? How old is that thing?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it goes everywhere. And yet, it's gotten a bad rap. And I think we're in a cycle where if we could just truly do what you said and really pull out the medicinal benefits. And I like microdosing. Thank you for saying that. Because every time I bring it up, I get an email that says, how can you be supportive of AA, NA, and 12-step programs so you can talk about this? And I always answer that question privately.
Mm-hmm.
But the point is this. And by the way, they've asked me whether I use. And so it's interesting because I don't. But I understand the medicinal value of it. I've seen it. I've seen kids that are autistic. I've seen this. And the only remedy comes from a pure, regulated, great practitioner that understands it. How much more do we have to learn about marijuana in the medicinal field, do you think?
I mean, we're still discovering, you know, different medicinal uses and new isolates and things like that. And I think there will always be something to learn from that plant in particular, because there's just so many different uses, and it's always been that way. And that's why we've kept it, or it's kept us. In easing people's minds, I think there's a lot of societal stuff kind of attached to it, and the war on drugs being largely, you know, attached to more of a war on race than a war on drugs. But I think we're finally, you know, starting to see some people rise up and get past that, and to see that the benefits outweigh, you know, all the things that we've been told.
Yeah. And by the way, even with you and so many like you, though, Kobe, you know, even when people go to look to buy something from your website, you have to have a disclaimer on there, because there are states like Alabama where you can't bring this in, but you can't even do astrology, I don't think, in Alabama either. So I'm just saying about that. Mm-hmm. But there are some places, which I was kind of surprised about, that you couldn't ship to. I was really shocked about Vermont. It caught me by surprise. And so people have to really understand what is going on in their own world, in their own politics, in their own legislation that might be preventing this movement from moving forward. And you know what? Saving more lives. I got to tell you, I can't share it on air today, and I won't. But this latest outbreak we've had, so many countries use so many different herbal remedies before there was a conventional one.
Mm-hmm.
We just can't talk about it or we'll be banned. And yet, it's sad to me. Kobe, thank you for today. I want to ask you one more time. Please tell us about your website, how to get the book, and gosh, I'd love to know your personal message, what you want to leave us with.
Sure.
Come back and do that cannabis show with me, all right? Like a half hour.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay?
I'd love to.
Okay.
Bring some friends.
Bring some friends. Yeah, because I really want people to know about how it's been used over history medicinally, what we now learn about it, especially from CBD, post-traumatic stress disorder, what's being used and what's not being used, meaning what would it take for the VA to look at some of this? So thank you for today. Personal message, website, references,
thank you. Personal message, thank you. Thank you for having me. I really enjoyed our chat. Just remember that poison simply means potency. It doesn't always ultimately mean death.
Yep.
That's important to remember. You can find out more about me, what I do, find my book, The Poison Path Herbal, and also some really awesome plant articles at thepoisonersapothecary.com, and I'm on social media at The Poisoners Apothecary as well.
And how do people get questions to you? I just got a question about that. How do we get questions to you?
Yeah, so I try and be available on social media, Messenger,
okay.
Facebook, Instagram. There is a contact page on the website. You can email me at thepoisonersapothecary@gmail.com.
I love it. Thank you so much for everything you're doing, and thank you for bringing this very powerful message out, because I don't think people realize that even in the most contemporary world we live in, having conversations like this really are really acts of courage. They really are. We're not quite there yet. In the same way, we're not quite there with gay rights. We're just not quite there yet all across the board, everybody. But this is beautifully done, and you have created such a fine work of art for people to understand, appreciate, and want to know more. Thank you for that special gift, Kobe.
Thank you for holding a space for me.
You bet. Let's take a short break, Benny, if we could. Benny, Jacob, William, Olivia. For those of you out there, please make sure you visit the website. And there's going to be so much there. You just have to go over to the store, and you're going to find a shop, rather. You're going to go over to the shop, and what you're going to find are so many things. So many things, so many pictures. Oh, we couldn't talk about all of them, but they're all here. If you decide to click on one of them or you see it sold out, make sure you get in the loop right here with Kobe to get that, like the Belladonna Black, Belladonna Black Daughter Mandrake, that's like on my list. All right, short break, Benny. Everybody, we'll be right back.
The views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of KKNW, its management, or other advertisers. Contests are the responsibility of the host of this program, and not KKNW. This is Alternative Talk 1150 AM, KKNW Seattle, and KNUC 98.9 HD3 Seattle.
And good Thursday to you. Benny Mathers here for a look at your Alternative Talk AM 1150 traffic update for around the Sound. Over on State Route 92 eastbound at 161st Avenue around Mount Post number 5. It looks like a recent collision partially blocking the lane. Also on the 520 eastbound near the on-ramp from the I-5 southbound and distributor there, a disabled vehicle partially blocking the ramp there. Good thing no State Patrol has arrived on the scene and they are taking care of that disabled vehicle. Stay tuned coming up next. After the news weather, it's another hour of the Transformation Talk Radio Network. To Dr. Pat Show Talk Radio to Thrive By, and the Secret Psychic. The special guest, Angela Wicks.
NBC News Radio, I'm Lisa Taylor. President Biden speaking this hour on a plan to combat rising gas prices. The White House has announced an average of 1 million additional barrels of oil will be put on the market from the nation's Strategic Petroleum Reserve each day over the next 6 months. This comes as AAA says drivers are paying an average of $4.22 a gallon to fill up.
At least two people are dead and two injured after a tornado touched down in the Florida Panhandle. According to the National Weather Service in Tallahassee, the tornado struck early this morning about 3 miles west-southwest of Alford. Early Final Four fans already in New Orleans for this weekend's matchup were just some in the path of the severe storms that continue to be a threat. Lane Alexander has more.
Overnight, torrential rain soaked New Orleans' famous Bourbon Street, prompting flash flood warnings and sending tourists scrambling for cover. While powerful winds toppled trees around Louisiana. Across the South, more than 100,000 people left without power, with nearly 57 million Americans still under the risk of severe weather from Florida to New York.
The Academy lied about asking Will Smith to leave the Oscars after slapping Chris Rock. That's according to a new report by TMZ. Just yesterday, the Academy said they asked Smith to leave the theater after the slap, but he refused to do so. A Democratic congresswoman is getting some blowback after attending a heated event near a Los Angeles homeless encampment. Representative Maxine Waters was present at a crowded scene when hundreds of homeless people showed up after getting bogus social media reports that Section 8 housing vouchers were being distributed.
I want everybody to go home.
We don't got no home. That's why we're here.
After telling everyone to go home, Waters then used an expletive to say she works hard for her people. She then told a Los Angeles Times reporter, "You'll hurt yourself and the community trying to write about this story without background." SpaceX is getting ready to launch the Transporter 4 tomorrow in Florida. The Falcon 9 rocket launch is scheduled for 12:24 p.m. on Friday. You're listening to the latest on NBC News Radio.
For $1 a day, if any covered appliance breaks in your home, we guarantee to fix or replace it. All makes and models, washers, dryers, refrigerators, air conditioners, and more. Guaranteed to be fixed or replaced for $1 a day. Call the Home Service Club now for free information.
800-823-6833. 800-823-6836, 800-823-6836. That's 800-823-6836.
And let's go ahead and take a look now at our alternative talk weather outlook for Thursday. Well, we'll see partly sunny skies today after those morning showers burn off. High temperatures around 52, 53 degrees. Tonight, mostly cloudy skies. Low temperatures dropping down to about 41. For Friday, mostly cloudy skies yet again with a few sun breaks. Highs around 53. Light showers returning for Friday night. Lows back down to about 40. For the weekend, more clouds and light rain expected. High temperatures in the mid-50s.
The views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of KKNW, its management, or other advertisers. This program is sponsored by Dr. Pat Basile and Transformation Talk Radio.
Hi, welcome. This is Dr. John DeMartini. This is one of the most amazing and inspiring shows that you can listen into. If you want to be on the edge of your seats, if you want to open up your heart, if you want to expand your mind, and you want to meet incredible people, stay tuned because you're just about to experience a transformative radio show that will change your life. And you're listening to the Dr. Pat Show. It's coming up right next to you.
Welcome to the Dr. Pat Show. Talk radio to thrive by. Powerful, inspiring, and coming to you live, bringing you stories of people like you and me, busting through and living life full out. Get ready to dare to wonder what your life would be like if you knew you could not fail.
Hey, everybody, welcome. It's so great to have all of you tune us in and turn us on. What a great lineup here. Wow, it's just incredible to me. It's almost like the sleeping giant has awakened. And I don't know if it's because people got so super creative over the past 30 plus months or if they have are finding a voice that they didn't think they had and they had to do. I know that's happened to us. We were like, no, we're not going anywhere. That's not happening. We're our doors are not shut, and we're going to find a way. And so we started to grow and expand. But it's like this energy that's like, it's like taking off, right? And out of this comes extremely cool creativity, moments of reference to what was. And that's today. I mean, that's today. I want all of you to really meet my very special guest today. And somebody that I think just did that, you know, Angela Ann Wicks, the secret psychic. I love that. Like, I love that. But you're going to hear what that really means. But here's what we're talking about in her crazy good book, The Secret Psychic, Embrace the Magic, Subtle Intuition, Natural Spirit Communication, and Your Hidden Spiritual Life. Why? Because we do that. We do that. It's like, you know, there's one thing. People ask me, how many coming out rituals did you have? And I said, okay, there's the sexuality part. There's the money part. There's this part. Oh, wait. Well, Pat, aren't you intuitive? Oh, no, not me. No, that's not me. And actually, Mark called me out on that on the show last Thursday. I do a show with Mark Anthony, the psychic and the doc.
Oh, okay.
And Mark's like, oh, yeah, Dr. Pat, she's quite tapped in right there. And I'm like, no, why? Secret. What's going on? Well, that's what Angela's going to tell us about, because we need to come out. We need to be coming out and talking about all those times in Catholic school we talk to Jesus, or we're walking down the street and we hear something and we don't do that. We don't make a left. We make a right. But look at this. This is Angela. She's the editor for Body, Mind, Spirit Titles, Llewellyn Worldwide. Llewellyn. I got to talk about Llewellyn a minute. I just have to have a moment. I've been doing this 20 years, and I get books from every publisher, pretty much, almost every publisher. There are a couple that don't send me books. They don't think I'm interested, but I am. But I went into the office, I think, when was it? About 4 weeks ago. And I got this giant box of books. And I opened them up, and we go through the books, and I review all the books. And on the left, I put the yeses, and on the right, I put the noes, and then there's a pile of maybe. And how do I make that decision? It's in the moment I'm in. By the time I was done, the entire box of books was in the yes pile. Linda went out of her mind. She called Daniel, our producer, and she said, did you have the piles mixed up? Are you sure that's Pat's yes pile? And they were all from Llewellyn. And, you know, what's interesting about this is that it's not just publishing company. There are so many inner traditions. I mean, there's so many out there now that are willing to take the voice of people like Angela M. and say, you've got a powerful message. We're going to support you in that. Angela, great to have you here.
Thank you for bringing me on.
I don't think I've made this up, because I have been doing this 20 years. I've done more interviews than I could even imagine. I've read more books. I read everybody's books. But I'm noticing something. I'm noticing how messages like yours are now getting their due time. How do you feel about that statement?
I think that it's really true, and what you were saying before also, just I think broadly, people are starting to realize, oh, it's not just like that psychic that I've seen on this show or this person who does professional psychic readings. It's actually me, too, who I'm just an average person, and maybe I'm actually getting these messages, and it's a real thing. So I think people are becoming much more aware that this occurs for the everyday person. And also to the point that you were saying, over the pandemic, people became very inquisitive and self-reflective.
Yeah.
Just from a publishing standpoint, I know that our readership did increase during that time, which makes a lot of sense because we all literally went inside.
Yeah.
Literally and metaphorically. And I think that self-reflection, you start having all these realizations, and it's just waking people up.
I also noticed what publishers and, you know, are more open to now. And, you know, I've done more shows recently on, for lack of a better word, on metaphysical, which is herbal medicine, cannabis. I mean, I've done more shows that would have been so taboo.
Yeah.
And so why is that? It's because publishers are willing to publish them. They're willing to tell their story. Maybe they've had a change of heart. Maybe they've had a change of management. It doesn't matter. But these books are really filling a gap once, right? Just like your book. I want to ask you this question. You don't write a book that's called Secret Psychic because you, like, wake up one day and say, hello, I'm just going to be, like, all about this. No. So I got to ask you this question because I know it's in there. And by the way, that's not the only title. It's like we're going to talk about embrace the magic of subtle intuition, natural spirit communication, and hidden spiritual life. So, like, this is a big show. So what happened? What challenges, what obstacles, Angela, did you have to personally overcome to get here talking here in this very moment about this topic?
These topics have really been a part of me since I was a kid, and I have always been really introverted and also very shy, and I've been kind of a person that really tests the water to feel people out, feel situations out, to make sure it's safe for me to share about whatever situation, also about who I am, to make sure that I'm not going to get in trouble or be judged or whatever it might be. And that came into play in this side of myself that was experiencing subtle abilities, my spirit that I had, all of these internal explorations that I really wanted to talk to other people about. But in feeling out the situation and testing the waters, I never really felt like there was a safe space for me to voice this side of myself. Yeah. So for a very, very long time, I explored on my own. I read a ton of books. This was before the internet, and it's crazy that I can say that because it's very old, but before the internet, so the library was my resource. I would find whatever I could in that way and just absorb people's stories, dive into the exercises and try to nurture myself in that way, because this was such a strong draw for me and something that was so powerfully an aspect of myself that I knew I needed to explore. So there was just that strong sense of alignment, and also just that secrecy, because I knew just from subtle messages that I was getting from society and from other people around me that it wasn't okay to be sharing these types of things. So it was secret for a very long time for me. And it wasn't really until I was in my 20s, almost into my 30s, where I started taking classes and actually meeting up with people who also had these interests and starting to feel like I could talk with other people and learn in public. And then when I got the position at Llewellyn, that just blew the doors off, where it's like, oh, I'm in a community now.
Yeah. The reason I asked that question is, you know, when I had a bunch of life things happen to me, and let's talk about them in the context of your book. And there were so many catalysts for change. And, you know, astrologers like to look at my chart and they say, oh, that's because Uranus was like in your house career. So that's their explanation. But what I do next, or what I had done next, I didn't really think very hard about. I just did it. But when I graduated from my program down at Claremont, I didn't do what that degree was supposed to do. Mm-hmm. And I ended up having a spiritual experience, as they say, to the point where my dean of my school saw me with two thunder aids and really blacklisted me from mentoring any other students. That's why I love this question, because this is really a coming out party for so many people to own their spirituality, mm-hmm. to own their idea of talking to spirit, you know, to own their secrecies about this. Can you just talk to the energy that you feel that your message in this book will generate?
My goal is that it empowers people. That is the core, that's the heart of what I really want energetically for it to bring to people, is the sense of empowerment and also a feeling of connection, even if you are the secret psychic and working independently, just being able to recognize that there are other people out there who are in the exact same situation and getting a sneak peek insight into what my journey has been, as well as what different professional psychics, professional mediums, professional subtle energy intuitives, what their starting point was and what their evolution of their own development and their journey has been too, because I interview a bunch of people in depth of the book and get their perspectives. So I think that can be really, really validating and reassuring.
Yeah. Let's get to that for a minute, because this is, let's tell people a little bit about the book, because it's not just you pick it up as academic. You really got some conversations in here that really offer different perspectives, right? Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, it's kind of a cool approach to really be speaking with people and to speak with people and hear what they have to say. Was that kind of the most exciting part of doing this? And what was it about those conversations that blew you away?
I was really excited to get different people's perspectives and people that I've been looking up to, and in a lot of cases I've been working with for many years. Many of the contributors that I interviewed are people that I have worked with as their editor at Llewellyn. So I've worked on their books and I really respect their work. And people like John Holland, I haven't personally worked with him, but I've known of him for a very long time. So seeing the inside of their own personal stories, especially yeah. their starting points, was what shocked me the most, because I can remember when I first got the responses back from one of the contributors, just how I was like, my jaw was down the whole time, just of like, this is what my journey has been too. Like point by point, it was so much the same. And it just surprised me, because I think a lot of times we put people up on a pedestal, and I think it helps ground this discussion and helps us to realize that we all have these abilities, and many of us, we're starting at the same starting point, and we all have this potential.
Yeah. I mean, I want to talk to you about this, about also timing and delayed responses. But you mentioned John Holland. I've known John a long time. He's one of the few first people that ever decided to be on my show when it was called Crust Busting, right, John? And I remember John coming on. This is like the weirdest, most bizarre thing, right? I mean, I didn't have my future envisioned where it is today. I had a sense of it. And I remember John coming on and just talking to me, and he said something on the show. I don't remember what happened, but it was early on when the show was still cross-busting. And he said, hey, you know, what's up with you in Australia? You know, what is it about you in Australia? And I'm like, John, don't even know what you're talking about. I have no interest in Australia. He says, I'm telling you, in the next 6 to 9 months, Australia, Australia, Australia. 6 to 9 months, right, out of the blue, a network in Australia. Shout out to Sean. Sean, I'm going to shout out to you. Sean Eisen owns a mega network in Australia. Somehow says, hey, do you want to start sending me shows? Now, we have been sending shows for a good 15 years to Sean. He plays these shows on 45 travel things and then distributes them to I don't know where. That was the first. The second was, I get a message from Olivia Newton-John's PR, Michael person. Would you like to interview Olivia? And I stepped back and I said, oh, my gosh.
Wow.
Right?
Yeah.
And it continued. One of our amazing hosts, Sarah Main, Australia, worked for them. But sometimes we get the vision, but we don't see the action right away. Have you gotten that in your stories? Have you heard people talk about that?
Definitely. And a lot of times for me personally, that is how messages play out, is that I don't understand what they mean initially. But I always say, as long as you let spirit know, like, okay, I'm open to hearing more. I don't quite get it, but keep going. they'll keep feeding you the message in whatever ways that they keep tweaking for it to hit. There's one example that I give where I heard from a grandparent about a week after he passed away, and I didn't understand what I was seeing, because what I was seeing was him on a throne, and there were all these flowers all around him and lots of people, and he was such a humble person that I was like, him on a throne, that's really bizarre. But okay, I guess everyone is celebrating in spirit that he's back and they're happy. That's cool. But then it kept coming back to me, like, throughout the following week, occasionally I would just get flashes, and it was like someone would be putting it, like, right in my face, like, look at it closer, look at it closer. And I started seeing, like, oh, it's more like a parade float. And I was like, wow, there's so many carnations. Like, what the heck? Carnations are such a cheap flower. Why is it carnations? And then one night I was like, dang it, I'm going to journal. I don't know what this is. And so I was just like, just jotting things down of what I've been seeing. And I wrote down that I was seeing things from the sidelines. And then all of a sudden I wrote, it was like a homecoming, like a football homecoming. And I just stopped and I looked at it like, oh my gosh, homecoming. And one of the things that I always associated with him was football. Like, that's what I always saw him as, because he loved it so much. And so that was his message. It was homecoming. It was this football theme, and then he was also homecoming. So it just shocked me, but I didn't understand that at first at all. And it just kept popping up, and eventually, once I sat with it, the meaning came to me.
Wow. Angela, one of the things I love, I'm going to talk to you about when we come back from break, I was surprised, but I wasn't surprised about the way you've written the book. And I just want to talk about it a minute, and then we'll go to break. And what I mean by that is, when I looked at this originally, and it's really what drew me to it right away, I started to look at how you are communicating and teaching us about this. Everything from those that want to really take the assessment, I call it the assessment, the secret psychic questionnaire, I guess, right? The Q&A, I don't know why I called it assessment. But everything from that to feeling some of the emotional pain, as you described, Amy, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you take us on this beautiful journey of both, you know, your personal insights, life path, callings, and then you introduce us to really how to identify symbols, how to look at things like that. But one of the most powerful things you do in all of this, and I want you to talk about it when you come back, is integration. How to integrate it all, whether it's sensory, whether it's symbols, how do we put it together? And what if we are getting messages from our loved ones? What are the symbols? What if we're drawn to things and we don't know why? There's so much that you put in this book that really bring things together that I believe will empower people. And I want to talk with you about that when we come back. But not to mention, hello, some of our previous hosts, Sherry Dillard. I mean, my gosh, wait till you read some of these stories. How do we find out about you? How do we get a copy of the book? Let's get people to do that right now.
You can find me on Facebook and Instagram. My handle is Angela A. Wicks. And then my website is www.angelaann.wicks.com/arts.
I love it. We're going to take a short break. When we come back, get ready to take the journey beyond symbols, touching the heart, and how to put it all together. But more importantly, the secret psychic. It's going to help us understand how we trust this. Stay tuned, everybody. We'll be right back.
Are you ready to expand and move forward and create the love in your life that you truly desire and deserve?
Specializing in consensually non-monogamous and polyamorous relationships, Elizabeth Cunningham works with all people who want to expand and grow the love they have in their lives. Contact Elizabeth for more information on love coaching and applying for her online course, Love Deeper, at ElizabethCunningham.com.
Tune into the Dr. Diane Show, where we explore revolutionary expansion of mind, body, and soul every Thursday at 8 a.m. Pacific, 11 a.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. I bring over 20 years of expertise as a mindset warrior, perspective shifter, and unshakable optimist dedicated to helping you reach your wildest dreams in business, health, performance, and relationships. Join the discussion on the show. Learn more about me, Dr. Diane, and receive a free digital copy of my magazine at naturalnutmeg.com.
Are you ready to experience full body system wellness? Tune in to the Empower Me Show with Pam Bright, a spiritual toolbox for your life. Embrace the fullness of who you are as a spiritual being, having a human experience. Pam Bright is a multidimensional healer, light language channel, energy intuitive, and spiritual transformation coach. Join her for a rich conversation about how to unlock all your spiritual gifts on Transformation Talk Radio.
In a roundabout of dysfunction, stop circling around difficult issues and find out what's been holding you back. Learn how to speak your truth to power with host Dr. Kathy Aubert. Create real change with smart tools and smart strategies. No frills, no fluff, just life-changing conversations to help get you where you want to be. Extend your reach and become an agent for real change with Kathy Aubert. For more information on Kathy and her work, please visit drkathyaubert.com. That's drkathyaubert.com.
Are you ready to branch out? Take a leap of faith. Tune in to Get Rooted Radio with Erica Gifford-Mills on TransformationTalkRadio.com to equip, empower, and enlighten yourself. Erica will energize and excite you to power up your passionate dreams that set your soul on fire. So, get fearlessly ready and get powerfully rooted in your yes to live it up, love it up, and let it go. Visit GetRootedRadio.com.
Everybody, welcome. It's so great. And look, I want to just tell you that we are talking, as you heard before we went to break, we're talking with Angela Wicks, the secret psychic. The book is available. Please, just honestly, we're going to talk about the book right now, but I just want everybody to know that it has much more than just talking about the secret psychic. It talks about what happens when you explore the magic of your inner secret world. What happens when you start to have situations that develop knowledge that you have? You know, what happens when you read some of these stories and you think, oh my gosh, really? Is that what happened to Cindy? Or is that what happened? So the book is really, really cool because what she does is she gives us practices, which you need, right? Practice. You don't get good at anything unless you practice it, unless you're like, I don't know, like a natural born hot dog eater. But I bet even then you got to practice. And then there are these beautiful stories. And one of them is a personal experience, right? Where, you know, you hear about a vision, right? You hear about a vision. How often have you all had experiences or visions? Now, if you tune into our show tonight, The Psychic and the Doc, Mark talks about that, Mark Anthony, the psychic lawyer, right? I mean, he's like the afterlife guy. He talks about this all the time. But the way you do this in this book, right, the way you talk about a flicker,
right?
The way you talk about a flicker of hello, or you talk about a vision, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so often it can be easily perceived as our own thought or like, oh, that was a weird thing. And then you move on and you just kind of dismiss it or don't really think on it. But there was one day, for example, that on the hour, at each hour, for that day, and I didn't realize this until at the end of it, I sat down and wrote it all down, but I saw an animal sign, I saw another animal sign, I had a flash of a vision, I heard, there were so many, like, all of these things that ended up stacking on top of each other. And in the end, the last, there was another animal sign, when it happened, as soon as it happened, before I could even process it in, logically in my thought of like, oh, was this a sign? Was this a message? I was bawling. And so
I was bawling reading this. I'm telling you, I'm holding back the tears now as I'm looking at it now again. And I'm just, you just write so beautifully. I was like right there with you.
Yeah.
Thank you for talking about it.
Yeah. I one of the things that I want people to get out of it is like, in that one example where I was getting message after message after message and wasn't getting it, I was interpreting things as my own thoughts, as my own, like, mental flickers. But until I had that energetic or emotional reaction where it was like, oh, my gosh, this is a message, and then I thought on it and processed, it was like, oh, this whole day I've been getting messages from my sister. And then I realized, oh, my gosh, it's her birthday. And, you know, I want people to start understanding what they aren't understanding. And that's where I think the practices become really valuable, not only in just developing and progressing and becoming stronger in your abilities, but casting out that confusion where you are just kind of like not getting it. And when you don't get things, sometimes it can bring in fear that where you're just like, what is this? I don't understand. So in the practices and in the stories, my goal is really to help people understand what's going on and be able to more easily recognize when this is happening for them.
You did such a beautiful way, especially about the way you laid this out. You know, normally when I read books like this, and, you know, there really isn't a book like this, because you've done such a beautiful job in integrating your personal journey, principles, symbols, and then other voices. I mean, if I were going to write a book, this is exactly the way I'd write it. Well, 20,000 interviews, you think I should write a book about some of those conversations, right? But what I loved about this was you even went so far as to mention influencing physical objects.
Right.
And I was reading that, and I thought, wow, that explains a lot. Listeners are not going to know what I'm talking about. Can you tell the audience what I mean about this part of the book that you wrote?
After my sister passed away, she was always big into, oh, I found a penny from grandpa. Oh, I found another penny from whoever. You know, she was big into pennies. And after she passed away, me and other family members, we were getting bombarded with pennies. I told my husband, I was like, I clean, keep your change in a safe space. If I get a penny, I want to know it's from her. But I was talking with a family member trying to figure out, like, where did this originate? And we kind of tracked it back to the movie Ghost. And so that was, like, the heart of where this became important to her. So as when she transitioned in spirit, it became another tool for her to, like, have pennies be really prominent. And for her partner, he ended up having a lighter, which she loved candles. She always had candles out everywhere. And this was something that I found in her apartment, and I gave to him because I assumed it was something he would want. And he said he put it on the dresser, and every day he would pass by it and think, I've got to put that somewhere safe. I've got to put that somewhere safe. And he just, you know, he couldn't figure out where to put it, or he just kept putting it off. And then he started noticing it being moved. So that was, you know, it was an object that he was obviously paying attention to. So I feel like for her, from her perspective, it was like, okay, this is something he's going to notice if I move it.
Oh, yeah. I love that we're talking about this. I mean, part of the other thing is you have not left much out. I was really surprised.
And especially, you know, when I got to the part in the book where you went on to talk about this, but you use this beautiful heart. I mean, I was reading through the book and I thought, oh, wait, she's still talking about Amy. The richness of what Amy wanted you to share, the richness of this story and how enlivened and enlightened it is. I mean, when I got to the part about channeling and divination, I get asked a lot, where did you study from? I mean, what brought to, no, I dialed the wrong phone number. That's why I'm like here now. Okay. But when I get behind the mic or headset or whatever you want to call it, something happens. And I don't know if it was Benny or one of the other producers said to me recently, geez, you're like talking about your mom a lot. Can you help us understand when people get really afraid of this? They want to shy away from it. They get afraid of the spiritual connection that channeling brings. But the way you talk about it is really cool. Can you talk about the energy of this and how important this is now? Because I think the electromagnetic frequencies are like crazy, and I think the ability to get more of this, not less of this, is happening. I don't know. What do you think, Angela?
I think in terms of, like, the secret psychic,
yeah.
One of the – I lay out all of the fears that, to me, are the reason why we remain secret. And one of them would be that historically religious traditions have persecuted or made it even illegal by law for the everyday person to have insight or wisdom or even perspective that they haven't gained from, like, a priest or the clergy or from people who are higher up in the religion. And I think that that is a big piece of where people have this fear around channeling, because when you are channeling, you're directly tapping into spirit. You're directly connected with family, friends, or just that greater energy. And you're, you know, there's no middle person. You're directly accessing that information. And so I think that is one of the key reasons why people have that fear.
And then you even go on to say something really cool. This shows up in the show we do at 4 o'clock today, 4 o'clock Pacific with Mark. And it's the one that the connection might be too painful.
Right.
And I remember this because Linda's my best friend. She's producer. She's actually like fire here. And she comes to visit. Her family took me in. I really was homeless at 17. And the universe, God organized me to meet Linda, her mom and dad, and they became my family. I was so close to Joan and Bjorn. But Joan had a lot of dragons and dragon lamps. Linda has them too. But she had these two beautiful dragon lamps. And I had said to her, I love those lamps. And she gave them to me. They're beautiful. She passed away. They were in my bedroom. And Linda and I were in the other room. And we must have been like nitpicking a little bit. I don't know. Maybe arguing.
Mm-hmm.
I heard a crash. Crash. Loud. And we're like, oh, my God, did the furnace explode? Got up, walked in the bedroom. One of the dragon lamps had literally, I'm telling you, jumped like it would be on a shelf, like a dresser like this,
mm-hmm.
jumped from the dresser to the floor, didn't get broken.
Wow.
Didn't get broken, not a single thing. And we asked ourselves this exact question. What does Joan want us to really be talking about here? What is the message? So many opportunities, Angela, right?
Mm-hmm.
And doesn't your book give us permission to explore them?
I really hope that people give themselves the permission. And through reading the book, that's definitely a goal.
Yeah.
Because until you give yourself permission, you're really just at a standstill. Or you're just bombarded and it's uncomfortable.
Yeah, but you see, your book does give us permission because here's what it does. It says you're not crazy. Hello, right? You know, the fact that I got kicked out of Catholic boarding school because Jesus told me in advance my mom had died. Hello. I went to therapy for like 8 years on that.
Mm-hmm.
But your book allows us to say, hey, wait a minute. This happened. This happened. I want to ask you this. Take a short break. I want to ask you this. What was the most like aha part of this book? When you sat down and you type it away, you said to yourself, I cannot wait to write about this. Don't tell me now. Hold on to that. But how do people get a copy of the book and how do they find out about you?
At my website, www.angelaann.wix.com/art.
And get the book, right?
Yes.
Get the book? Okay. So when we come back, we're going to ask the secret psychic like secrets now. We're going to get at the secret part. Stay tuned, everybody. Benny, we'll be right back. Are limitations holding you back from living a powerful and authentic life? Are you able to see yourself and others through a lens of empathy and compassion? Tune in to Awaken Your Truth with me, Ritika Rose, to discover how to free your mind, heal your life, and embody your power. Second and fourth Thursdays at 9 a.m. Pacific on Transformation Talk Radio, YouTube, and across all podcast stations. I'm on a mission to inspire a shift in you so together we can collectively heal the world. To learn more about me, visit RitikaRose.com.
When trauma is stored in the body, it can subconsciously affect and determine our life experience. Learn how the mind connects with the body and how you can pursue your own healing and growth so that your light shines brighter than ever. On the Law of Attraction Traction with host, my mom, Green Barefoot, every third Tuesday of the month at 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. To learn more about Green and her services as a holistic heart-centered counselor, visit GreenBarefoot.com.
Mary Jane Mack, and yes, our office is open, and we are doing strictly phone consultations. If you would like to call and get tuned up, it's perfect time with everything that's going on and things are calming down. Pick up the phone and give us a call. It's quick and easy and it's fun. If you'd like more information on that, you can look at MaryJaneMack.com or call our office at 888-777-4232.
Looking for the next Can't Put It Down book? Pick up Unapologetically Favored by Courtney Cottrell, 21-year active duty master chief with the U.S. Navy and motivational speaker. See this beautiful coming-of-age story unfold through the eyes of a true leader. A testimony of tenacity, faith, and self-love that will have you embarking on your own path of self-discovery. Visit unapologeticallyfavored.com to learn more about Courtney and her work.
How many times do you find yourself saying, it was nothing, or just doing my job, when really you knocked it out of the park? How did you get like this? Next time someone tells you, great job, you'll know how to accept it and not deflect it by listening to Courage to Be Seen Radio with host Sherry Clark. Sherry Clark is an experienced global engineering leader, coach, and mentor. From her experiences one-on-one coaching to corporate consulting and executive coaching, Sherry has learned many women need at least three things to discover and face success. Learn about the ACES program, how to survive male-dominated fields with grace and authenticity, and reach the top without ever once giving up on who you are. Courage to Be Seen host Sherry Sparks explores the awesome power of your entire self and how far you can go by being more you. Check out her website, CourageToBeSeen.com. You have the courage to be seen.
Welcome back, everybody. Welcome back. Angela A. Wicks, the secret psychic. It's really a
just love this book. I'm not going to get through all of it, but I want to just jump ahead and just let everybody know that, really, if you want to find out more about this, go to Angela. Let's get them over to your website again. Please do that.
It's www.angelaann.wix.com/art.
Actually, beautiful website. So let me just talk about this. When you go there, yes, you're going to find the book, but you're going to find artwork. It's beautiful. It's a beautiful website.
Thank you.
So I just want to just share more about Angela for a minute, because this must be like secret too. This has got to be like a secret. So we need to talk about the secret. But when you go here, you're going to see all of her, her artwork, her books, her writing, all of this. And when you come out and you are this person, and then you decide, I'm going to come out the secret psychic, now I got to ask you, tell us some secrets from the secret psychic that I didn't talk about in the book.
One of the things you mentioned, what was so surprising. So
yeah.
Some of the things that felt so good to get down on paper and that kind of clicked in as I was writing were secrets that I kept as a kid. So those were some of my secrets, just like experiences of hearing spirit messing with me, buzzing in my ear, or instances where I felt other people's feelings and did not understand what was going on. So I kind of distilled both secret stories from my childhood and things that I didn't understand at all, because, you know, the world is weird when you're a kid. You're learning what's real and what's not, and I had no context for the things that were happening, so I didn't understand them until I was older, and once I started writing them down, it was like, oh, yeah, there was this other weird thing that happened, too, and this is what was actually going on, so.
You know, now the more I listen to you, the more I'm thinking, maybe I should really talk to somebody about this book, because I think we blank things out, right?
Yeah.
Did the writing process enable you to remember more? Like, as you were talking,
yeah, it did.
I remember getting in serious trouble for coming home early from school. I was sick. This in the Bronx. My dad used to lock everything from the inside out. You could not get out of the house if you were in, okay? You can only get in one way, through the door that I was in. Everything was locked. Everything was locked because there were no keys. Couldn't get out once you're in. This is the guy that also cemented the green grass. But I remember coming home, and I walked into the basement where we had us girls slept downstairs, and I walked in, and I saw three people, all in, like, brown sepia, a man with the hat, old school, like, funky, a woman, funky, and a young girl. They looked so real to me.
Mm-hmm.
I went screaming at the neighbors. They called the police, surrounded the block. Everybody comes in. There was only one way in and one way out. Nobody in the house.
Wow.
I got punished for a month.
Oh, my God.
And, of course, sent back to Dr. Jacoby. But, see, these are important things to share with people, Angela.
Mm-hmm.
I want to ask you this next question. You interviewed a lot of people. I mentioned, you know, really great people. Any stories from them where you said, really? That for real? I think about Sherry Dillard, and I like, really, Sherry? But, like, I mean, you must have had a couple of moments of those.
The one that surprised me a lot was Cindy Dale.
Cindy.
I just see her as someone who is so open and is so aware of her abilities. And, you know, she teaches to so many different people. She travels all over the world. And I was surprised by her backstory and how much she struggled as a kid. And, you know, different family dynamics and lack of support. So that was something that surprised me, not only with her, but with some of the other contributors, too, just for the fact that they're so out there now. Like, there's no secret, you know, they're out there and they're doing this, and they came from circumstances that often were not supportive to who they were and what they were experiencing, which made it a lot harder when this is already kind of challenging when you're learning on your own.
Yeah. May I also mention how you did this? Because I don't think people will get what I loved about this is you kind of did it. I'm like a little researcher at heart. I hate to admit that, but it's like true. If you saw my dissertation, it is done like that. But you asked them questions,
mm-hmm.
and then they answered, and then you ask them another question, and then they – I love that you did that because you could have taken the other format. You could have said, oh, here's my conversation with Sherry, or here's my Michael. Tell me about this format because it's brilliant to ask them, like, the question. Like, I have a signature question that I asked you. Everybody's answered it. But this is beautiful to hear the quotes and what they say. Were you not jazzed about that?
Yeah, I was. And initially, I actually had planned to just interview them and get their insights to confirm my own knowledge so that I knew what I was writing was not just me being weird. So I wanted to confirm my own experience through other people's knowledge as well who were professionals in the field. And then I had plans to, in certain areas, maybe interweave some of their responses into the body text. So it would have all just been part one of the book, basically, and there wouldn't have been a part two. But I started getting their answers back. It was like, wow, I want people to see this exact quote. I want them to see how this person's answer compares to this other person's answer. And so that's why I put it with the question and then the answer from Melanie, the answer from Cindy, the answer from Granddaughter Crow. So it's all in a row so you can see in instances where, oh, they're all saying the same thing. That's interesting. Or, oh, wow, this person says something totally different that's in contrast to this person. So you can see how in some instances we perceive or experience these abilities in different ways, or we have different beliefs about these abilities.
Yeah. I love the question you asked them about books because I grew up basically illiterate. I stuttered. Oh, I forgot to tell you that. Mm-hmm. Try to sell drugs and stutter. I stuttered, and, I had that, but I love the answer that Cindy gave on this, where she said, I shut out my intuitive gifts, and certainly for me, after that event, I did, but I didn't really. And she said, I was young, and I continued reading supernatural books. See, this is what I love about how our pop culture has given us evidence that we are now evolving. I didn't read anything but comic books, and I used to read them, and I used to draw them, and then from drawing them, I would create new imagery from them. And I remember Dr. Jacoby looking at her and says, well, that's not a comic. He said, you drew something different. I said, well, not really. I said, that's the comic, but this is the comic, and don't you see these other people are in it? And he says, no, they're not. This is important for people to read these answers, and I thank you for not editing them. I don't think you did, right? Or did you?
No.
So much here. I want to ask you this question. This does allow people to maybe, who grew up like me thinking like that. I mean, I have corporate performance reviews where I get outstanding reviews and promoted and they tell me I'm on another planet. But this does give people an opening to say, wow, right?
Yeah.
Were you amazed at how empowering this was in the end, or is it just me?
I was surprised by how impactful those interview responses were for me. I was interested and I was curious, but I was surprised at how personally validating it was all of their responses.
I got to go to Sherry, and this is my last question because it really brings it together. I think Sherry, I mean, so many great things, but Sherry said something interesting in here. She said, it would have helped to know that I could trust what was happening and that using intuition is practical and not as out there as we may initially think. Is that one of your visions for people that might read this book? Is to help them trust.
Yeah, Yeah, and to know that what they're experiencing is normal. The foreword for the book is written by Echo Bogin, who was my own instructor, and she starts out the foreword by saying, I wish that every parent, every teacher would share this material with kids, you know, before they get into school or in their kindergarten or whatever, just because I think, you know, we get into our teens or we're adults and people are trying to figure it out, but if we start recognizing when kids are showing these interests or these experiences, and we can put context to it for them,
mm-hmm.
and help them understand what they're experiencing, I think that will help us evolve even to the next step.
I can't thank you enough for, you can still be secret psychic. That's okay. That's cool.
Yeah.
But I don't think you're going to be a secret like as you were. But there's another quote from the book that I think that is so brilliant and what your part of your message is. And it's accept yourself and your intuition. You are who you need most.
Yeah.
If we could just grab a little bit of the wisdom that you bring forth in this book and we can trust it, we will be able to do amazing, unbounded, beautiful, kind things in the world. And I hope you write a second book.
Thank
and
you.
I hope you create some oracle cards from this.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Because if you don't do it, somebody else will pick up this book, because I'm just reading a couple of quotes. But you can literally take what these contributors gave and said, and your story.
Mm-hmm.
These are what we need to wake up with every day, Angela, and be reminded of. We really do. And I can't thank you enough for sharing some personal. I'm telling you, I cried a lot during this book.
I'm sorry, but I'm also not sorry.
No, don't be sorry. Don't be sorry. I didn't cry for 40 years. But crying is good for me.
Yep.
What's your personal message? What would you like to leave us with today?
I want people to know that you can be empowered with these experiences, with your subtle abilities, and also you aren't alone in this journey. It's fine to stay secret in it forever or just for now. And once you start feeling like you want to share with other people, I get into that in the book for how you can do that in a really safe and secure way. So I hope that you have joy in these abilities.
And I want to mention, if I could, thank you for that message. This is not the only book you've written. There are other books. There are other things on your website.
Mm-hmm.
How do people contact you if they want to email you, perhaps ask you a question, any of that?
I have an about page on my website, and there's a contact form there. And I also do review my direct messages on Instagram and Facebook.
Thank you so much for everything you're doing. Thank you for really opening a door for so many people that are painfully suffering with their gifts and talents. Thank you, Angela. Angela Ann Wicks, I'm Dr. Pat. I want to thank all you all for tuning us in, turning us on. Again, please take a look at this book. It's available on Amazon, by the way, and you can get the hard copy and you can get the Kindle. And I'm hoping, like, maybe she'll do an audio version, but, I mean, if she needs help with the studio, we can help her with that. I just keep giving you more stuff to do.
Yep.
I gotta have the audio version.
The views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of KKNW, its management, or other advertisers. Contests are the responsibility of the hosts of this program, and not KKNW. This is Alternative Talk 1150 AM, KKNW Seattle, and KNUC 98.9 HD3 Seattle.
Happy Thursday, Eric Reiner here with you on KKNW. We are approaching new...